Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Anna Sale in for Brian Lehrer today. In the last days of Michael Bloomberg's administration, there's been a lot of talk about all the ways our city has changed under his watch. A new report from the city shows other remarkable ways we've changed since 2000, and not just because of who's occupied Gracie Mansion, or not occupied it in Mayor Bloomberg's case. The new report, called The Newest New Yorkers, updates our picture of the immigrant population in the city. It describes the nexus of family relationships, federal policy, and economic opportunity that's drawn them to the city. There are more than 3 million immigrants in the city. 37% of us were born somewhere else than the United States. That's the largest percentage in a century. More than half of us, 6 in 10 New Yorkers, are either immigrants or the children of immigrants. And a third of the 3 million foreign-born residents in New York City arrived in the U.S. since 2000. So as we dig apart this report and who these immigrants are, we want to hear from you. If you're one of those immigrants who've moved to New York City since 2000, tell us your story. What brought you here? 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. Tell us which country you came from, where you live now in New York. 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. But joining me now to walk us through this report about the newest New Yorkers are Joe Salvo, a demographer at the city's city planning department and a co-author of this great report. Welcome back to WNYC,
Thank
Joe.
You.
Also here is Fatima Shama, the commissioner of immigrant affairs at the city. Welcome to WNYC, commissioner.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So this report is not just about the number of immigrants in New York City, Joe, but it's a big number, but also where they've come from. The tally now, we see Dominicans still dominate in terms of the immigrants in New York City, but immigrants from China have had a huge jump and are now close behind Dominicans. What's behind that big growth of Chinese New Yorkers?
Well, the Chinese population of New York City has been here for many years. But what's happened is that the flow of immigrants from China has blossomed as a result of many Chinese coming to New York and claiming asylum, which the U.S. Provides. And that has allowed the stream to just increase dramatically to the point where my staff and I have concluded that we think that the Chinese population in the next few years could actually become the largest foreign-born group in the city.
You mentioned asylum as a factor in the Chinese immigration to New York City. Some 40% of Chinese immigrants to New York City had some sort of asylum?
It's 40%, and over half of the total people claiming asylum are Chinese.
Huh. And there was a cap before that got lifted. Is that correct?
That's correct. In 2005, the cap was lifted. And that allowed large groups that were actually, we think, here for actually here for a while to now come in.
Huh. And are these – so they have asylum, 40% of immigrants from China to New York City. But are these New Yorkers who also have family relationships with people who are here? They're getting political asylum, but are there other things that are drawing them particularly to New York City?
We always say that immigrants, regardless of their legal status – are sitting across the table every day and having dinner with each other, okay? From the standpoint of New York, they're all contributing.
And one other big jump that I want to ask you about is the jump in the Mexican population in New York City. Is the pattern of immigration for Mexicans to New York City different than other immigrants? Are they coming directly to New York City from Mexico or coming from other parts of the country?
Well, there's a significant number that come directly, but the big flows come in through other parts of the country. They may settle in Chicago or parts of the Southwest and then come to New York as internal migrants. And the way we know this is we monitor the flow every year, okay, and the flow is actually quite low directly to New York.
Hmm.
But the numbers that come in from other parts of the country is actually very large.
And what's been drawing them in recent years in such bigger numbers?
Well, it's what draws all immigrants to New York. We are a magnet because of the opportunities that we provide across the range of occupations. People come here to work. Labor force participation among immigrants is higher than the general population. And immigrants we see every day in our daily lives, and we see how they contribute here in New York because they run the whole range of occupations. And we are very lucky to be able to provide such a range, and that's the magnet for us.
Commissioner Sciamma, one of the other things about that this report lays out is how much more diverse the immigrant population in New York City has become. It points back to a change in federal law in the 1960s. We're seeing a smaller percentage of immigrants from Europe in New York City, a much wider diversity of countries here. How has that complicated your job in terms of figuring out what services immigrants need when they're coming from so many different places?
Well, I wouldn't say it's complicated. I think it adds to the brilliance and breadth of the diversity of the city and how it really adds a tremendous value of how you can truly visit the world while in New York City. From the city's perspective, our office's responsibility is to ensure the successful integration of immigrant New Yorkers economically, civically, and socially. But one of our responsibilities is to really think about how do we provide access to this community. So recognizing the breadth of countries, whether it's individuals from Latin America or from Asia or from the Caribbean, is what are some of their challenges? Language is one. Mm-hmm. What are the linguistic differences? How many of them are English proficient? How do we then serve them better by better providing access to city programs or opportunities? The other is sometimes status. The other is economic educational attainment, interaction with government. In some instances, some of the individuals have come from countries where governments really were not there to help them succeed. And as a result, how do we go in and reframe the idea of government and engage them in a way that allows them to trust us and allow them to come to us when they are when they have fears, when they've been victimized, when they're in need of opportunity, whether it's to enroll their kids in school or to open a small business or to start a bank account? How do we become the folks seen as providing greater opportunity? So we're able to look at all of that, and this data really provides us a greater greater insight.
So there's a lot in there that I want to unpack with you. But first, I want to take some calls. Diana from Queens, you immigrated from Ecuador?
Yes. Hi, good morning.
Hi. When did you arrive in New York City?
I actually arrived in 1992.
And what brought you here?
Well, it was financially driven. My mother had come here before us, my brother and I. She was a widow with two kids. She was a nurse back in Ecuador, but the government was very unstable, so working in the public sector meant, like, sometimes she wouldn't get paid, like, months and months and months. So she was given an opportunity to come to the States. She took it. She came. And we were left behind with my grandmother. Also, at that point, I had gotten married at 14 years old, and I had a baby myself. So when I came here, my mother helped us out to get here. I was 17, and I had a daughter at the time. I was married also. My brother also came at that time. So it was my mother who brought us here with the hope of getting a better future for us.
Your mother brought you here at 17. So that was more than 20 years ago. And you mentioned you're from Ecuador. You live in Queens, where the highest number of immigrants live in New York City, according to this report. Have you noticed the big jump in Latin American immigrants in the last 10 years in New York City?
Yes, I have. I have. And also what I've noticed is when I came, barely anybody spoke English, I have to say. I was lucky that I came at 17, and at that time I went for my GED, I went for English classes, and eventually I went to LaGuardia Community College, and I went to Baruch eventually. But that was really one of the first, because everybody was really working hard and not really like trying to learn the language, but more so saving with the hope of going back home and sending money and that kind of stuff. But I notice now that immigrants now invest more in themselves in terms of like learning English and trying to get an education, whatever that is, and also making sure that their kids, you know, don't stay without college or education.
All right, Diana, thanks so much for your call. I'm Anna Sale in for Brian Lehr. We're talking about the newest New Yorkers, a report about immigrants in New York City. This is WNYC FM HD in AM New York. WNJT-FM 88.3 Trenton, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River. So, Joe, we just heard Diana's story and what she's noticed just living in Queens. Is that something that you found looking at this report, that the intentions of the immigrants who've come here have shifted to maybe thinking about coming and then going back to actually digging in and building a life here?
Well, immigration, obviously, when it comes to Queens, and Queens is half foreign-born, half the population. But the story is not about just Queens anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one of the things that we found. The Bronx, for example, the population, foreign-born, increased 22%. In Staten Island, 35%. And it's not small numbers in Staten Island. It's 100,000, almost 100,000 foreign-born. So what we have is a blossoming of immigration all over the city. It's not only in one borough or one neighborhood. There's a multitude of neighborhoods that are now getting large numbers of immigrants.
And one of the most interesting kind of tidbits in this report that I didn't know about was you mentioned status, Commissioner Sciamma, that half of the immigrants in New York City are now naturalized, that shifted the visa process as a result and made it a quicker process to draw other family members to New York City. Can you explain that, Joe?
Well, the number was 44% 10 years ago. Now a majority, 52% of our foreign-born population is naturalized. It is far easier for a person who is here as an American citizen to bring in their relatives when they are an American citizen. So as a result, this should have a ripple effect and cause immigration to be sustained over a period of time and make it easier for families to come together. As I said earlier, they're at the same dinner table every night. Whether one is documented or undocumented, it's irrelevant from the standpoint of the family having dinner together, so to speak. And the more we can do to encourage that, and through the efforts of Fatima and the Office of Immigrant Affairs, we've had this increase in naturalization in the city, and it's benefiting us now and in the future. It's another way to get immigrants integrated fully into the life of New York, because we all benefit from that.
Commissioner Sciamma, was that a policy intention? Was that a focus to increase the naturalization rates in the city?
Yeah. So in the city of New York, we actually estimate that we have nearly 700,000 individuals that are eligible to naturalize. And in addition to naturalization being one of the sort of final thresholds of integration, it actually is a tremendous – it has tremendous benefits, not only in a person's ability to be protected, fully protected as an American here, as an, but economically speaking, from the city's perspective, there are any number of studies that demonstrate naturalization results in higher wages, better investment in education, better health outcomes, greater home ownership. And so for the city of New York, we recognize the population that we have. We recognize that our past, present, and our future really is reliant on the success of our immigrants. And naturalization is one of those realities we wanted to help support. And so we've been working very hard on trying to encourage New Yorkers that are eligible to naturalize.
Sherwin in East New York, you are one of the new New Yorkers described in this report. You arrived in New York City in 2001?
Yes. Yes, I did.
And where did you come from?
I'm from Trinidad and Tobago. I had a smaller island, Tobago.
And what brought you to New York City?
Basically, education, educational opportunities. My wife came first, and she was educated at St. Francis College. Then I came, and I was I did my second degree at Brooklyn College.
Uh-huh.
And I got involved in teaching.
In teaching, what do you teach?
I'm a science teacher.
You're a science teacher in New York City public schools?
No, at a private school.
At a private school.
Yes.
So your wife came first. Do you have other extended family in New York?
Yes, I do. I have cousins who came way before I came, you know, many years before. And so I do have extended family. My wife's mother is also here. My wife's sister is also here.
And are you a citizen now?
Not as yet, but we hope to be in the not-too-distant future.
Okay, well, Commissioner Sharma is listening in right now. You just heard her making the case for naturalization. Thank you so much for giving us a call. Commissioner Sharma, just looking back on that naturalization question, once you're a citizen, you can vote. Looking back over this political year in New York City, political power in immigrant communities, how does that layer on the numbers that we're seeing in terms of the people who live here? How much are the new immigrants in New York City getting involved in the politics and how New York City is governed?
Well, I think we can see it quite real around naturalization, but really around voice. I think we in New York, and I have to say that Mayor Bloomberg has been an incredible advocate for immigrants, has been an amazing spokesperson for the breadth and success of what immigrants bring. He is often someone who says, and I've adopted this, we celebrate where immigrants are from and where they are today. And I think we see that actually in the political engagement and civic engagement of immigrants. We've had the first Mexican-American elected to the city council in Brooklyn. We've had Dominicans who are very robustly involved in politics and have been. We have our first Asian-American congresswoman representing us in D.C. And so those three groups that are quite real in our numbers, we're seeing that political engagement. But I think in the future, we are going to see a lot more. I have to say, we have done a lot with immigrants across the city, really engaging them in becoming real voices, real allies, real surrogates for and developing their leadership in their communities because we need them. We need them to be at the table, informing us of their needs, advocating for themselves, and in fact, being partners with government to help support the needs of their communities. And so I think it looks really promising.
And you mentioned Mayor Michael Bloomberg, Commissioner Sharma. I have to ask, we have a new mayor come Wednesday. Do you know what your future will hold in city government?
I have been asked by the transition team to stay on a little to help, and I will. And then I'll take a break. But I think that the future of the city with the breadth of immigrants that we have, I think immigrants are the lifeblood, and I think they will always be. And I think our office has played such an integral role, really connecting to communities and really helping support what government can do. And so I really do hope that when they're thinking of my successor, they really recognize the kind of talent it'll take to really uplift our office, because we actually have offices now like ours replicating in cities across the country that we've helped get created. And so New York's going to have some competition.
The Bloomberg model of exporting what's happening here to other cities. Joe, I want to ask you, looking towards the future, the report really makes the argument that, you know, immigrants not only are part of the driving force of the economy right now in New York City, but they helped contain population loss in the 1970s and 80s when the city was in different circumstances. Now that net migration out of the city is actually lower than people coming in. Are you expecting that there's going to be, how will that affect immigration rates into New York City when housing prices, when the competition for jobs, not just from foreign-born residents, from other parts of the country, native-born residents are moving to New York City, is that going to affect the growth and the numbers of immigrants in the city in the future?
Well, it's impossible to predict. Obviously, what's going to happen 20 or 30 years from now. But we have to look at history. And throughout history, there have been a number of challenges we faced. Think about New York City in the 1970s and how abysmal the economic climate was. And we got almost 800,000 immigrants in that decade. The current period with the competition that occurs obviously creates challenges, but the fact is that if you look at the neighborhoods of New York, if you look at Washington Heights, if you look at Elmhurst, 71% of Elmhurst is foreign-born. Okay? If you look at Bensonhurst, Brooklyn, which has the largest growth in Chinese population in the city, and you look at the West Bronx with the Dominican in-migration that's occurring there, there are opportunities in the city, and immigrants are very good at finding them and very good at developing and encouraging opportunities. So if you look at our history and you look at the current situation, which shows us very robust neighborhoods, housing that is maintained by immigrants, you have to be optimistic, because even with – we have experienced an in-migration of young people from the rest of this country over the course of this economic recession that's actually been – quite substantial, and all you have to do is look at Western Brooklyn, Western Queens, to see this. Even in parts of the South Bronx, you'll see it. But that I don't view that as a competition. I view that as another source of invigoration for the city. And immigrants will have their place. If you take the L train and you go across the northern part of Brooklyn to Bushwick, you will see Mexican immigrants and you will see young people side by side. And those two forces are invigorating that area. That was one of the areas hit really hard in the 1970s. And today, you would never know that. So these forces complement each other and help the city overall grow and maintain our neighborhoods.
Any sense of whether foreign-born residents who want to come to the United States, how much is New York City a draw, and is there any kind of factor where they're coming here and moving out to other parts of the country that are less expensive to live in?
Well, there's what I would call a natural cycle that occurs. It should be no surprise, for example, that the Dominican population, which grew just by 3% in the last decade, is finding other places to live. If a population comes here over the course of 30 years, the Dominicans came here in the 1970s in larger numbers, and they've been coming ever since. They're moving to northern New Jersey. They're moving south. They're moving to other parts of the country. That is part of a natural progression, okay? And that happens with many immigrant groups. But here's the story. The process does not change. The faces change, the countries change, but the process doesn't change. So what's happening now is Bangladesh is beginning to surge. Ecuador is surging. The Dominican Republic is waning a little bit, okay? China is surging. Countries move up and down on the list, so to speak, but the process remains the same. And that's what gives me optimism. That process doesn't change. We are expert at taking people and allowing them to rise economically, and their social mobility is enhanced. And as a result, we transform the way it's said by many people, as the city is as much a process as a place.
And Joe, when you tell that story about the life cycle of immigrant groups and who it is in New York City at a given moment, do you think of family relationships and economic factors in home countries and here in New York City? Is that primarily the driver, or should we look at federal policy and things like the asylum caps that we mentioned before? What's sort of the major driver?
Well, federal policy is something that we live with here in the city. We do not determine immigration policy. It's determined at the federal level. But there are so many things, several of which you've heard about, that we can do to encourage immigrants to come here, do well, and become part of this city. That's our orientation. So the draw is our economy, and families are extremely important. One of the reasons, again, why we're encouraged by the level of naturalization is that it will help keep families together because their opportunities for reunification are enhanced. And again, it has to do with our ability to draw immigrants based on our economy and based upon forwarding policies that encourage integration and welcome people who come here. It's a challenge. It's a struggle, and we want to help them because it's in our mutual interest to do so, and we have a few hundred years of history to back us up.
That's right. And at this moment in the 100-year history, we are at record highs of the number of foreign-born New Yorkers in the city right now in terms of percentage. Joseph Salvo, demographer at the city's population demographer at the city's planning department, and Commissioner Fatima Shama, currently the commissioner of the Office of Immigrant Affairs at the city. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you for this report about who we are as New Yorkers.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.